Good morning, church. Welcome as we celebrate and praise God's name this fourth Sunday of Lent. We have so much to praise and so much to celebrate. A few announcements before we get started. Please don't forget that next weekend, believe it or not, Spring Rally will be here in Trafalgar, Indiana. It is for middle schoolers up to age 21. So if you haven't gotten any information, your registration is due today. So please make sure you get that in as soon as possible. And please remember, we are renting vans this year. So contact Carolyn Menapace if your child would like a ride. The cost of transportation is $20. Excuse me. Our Lenten study continues this week on Wednesdays. This week, we will actually be finishing up our final week on Pastor Andy's study on why Easter, and then we'll do something else next week. This week, we'll be looking at Peter's role in this story. So join us on Zoom from 7 to 8. I've really been enjoying the deep discussions we've had, and it's a great time to reflect and to pray this Lenten season as we get to the reason of the season. Why Easter? Mass remain required for singing. The elders did reach out to the Arabian Music Foundation this week to see if they have any guidelines for any changes in the future. If we hear anything, we will let you know about that. Holy Week readings will be around the corner. We will have Holy Week readings Monday, Thursday, and Good Friday in person in the sanctuary at 7 p.m. this year. The Holy Week readings will not be streamed at this time, but we will have Easter sunrise at the village as well. There'll be no breakfast to follow. There is a sign-up sheet for anyone interested in being a Holy Week reader. We really appreciate when we get the opportunity to hear from a lot of different voices throughout Holy Week. So if you're willing to sign up for one of those, there is a sign-up sheet in the narthex for you. Our Easter egg hunt will be Saturday, April 16th at 10 a.m. for kids through fifth grade. Please RSVP by Palm Sunday if you are interested in going, or if your kid's friend has somebody who's interested in going. We look forward to the opportunity to have this activity for our kids once again. And please get your Easter flower signups in today. I apologize, I was a little late getting those signup sheets out, but Linda Karcher needs those orders in as soon as possible. So if you can get those orders in, that'd be greatly appreciated. There are order forms in the back right in front of our TV right there if you need one. And then Thursday, just a reminder for the CEC, they will be providing the homeless shelter meal. If any of you are dropping off stuff but not able to go to the homeless shelter, just let me know. I'll come down to the church, grab a load of things, and we'll make sure we head down. And then next Monday, April 4th, the CEC will have their meeting. That's all I have for announcements at this time. Let us please stand and extend the right wave of fellowship. Come on. You may be seated. Our watchword for the week this week comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. Amen. At this time, we rise to sing, "This is a day of new beginnings." Please rise.
Thank you.
pray together the liturgy for Lent too. We give thanks to you, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
In our union with Christ, you have blessed us by giving us every spiritual blessing in the heavenly world.
Even before the world was made, you had already chosen us to be yours through Christ, so that we would be holy and without fault before you.
We praise you for your glorious grace, for the free gift you gave us in your dear Son.
For holy and righteous living.
Forgive us for our desire for personal greatness, for our attempts to make gods of ourselves, for our willingness to exalt ourselves at the expense of others, and for our resistance to serving one another as you have served us.
Forgive us for making light of your obedience and sacrifice on the cross by living an undisciplined, an indifferent Christian witness. Forgive us for yielding to fear rather than relying on your strength to take the risk of discipleship.
Forgive us, dear Jesus, for times we have not looked to you as our Lord, and for allowing the clamoring distractions of the world to become higher priorities than you. Forgive us for yielding more to the pressures of this world than being transformed by your Lordship over our lives.
Alive in Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations, which was against us and which stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross.
Since we have been raised with Christ, let us set our hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.
He is Lord, He is Lord, He is Lord.
Lenten journey. Let us keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God.
We thank you, Lord Jesus, not only for the privilege of believing in you, but of suffering for you as well, so that we may also be glorified with you.
Please rise. I didn't want to make note of one thing. I apologize. As an example that there's a perfect Lord and Savior, and that is not I. I made a typo in the bulletin when I send it out. Our gospel today is from Luke chapter 15, the prodigal son. We didn't realize this until 5 minutes before worship, so we may or may not have it on the screen for you. But I encourage you to really take some intentional time with that passage, because it's one we know so well. But pay attention to the new caveats that you may hear this year. Let us hear from Scripture.
Our first scripture is Psalm 32. Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you while you may be found. Surely while the mighty waters rise, they will not reach him. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the ways you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the man who trusts in him. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all you who are upright in heart.
Psalm
Our next scripture is Luke 15, 11 to 32. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to the fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him, but he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you killed the fattened calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'"
Amen. Let us now pray together as prodigal sons and daughters of our Lord and Savior. And we come together in prayer today, uplifting our joys, our concerns, our worries, and our anxieties to God. In our prayers, we continue to pray for Ukraine, and we pray for peace for the people. We pray for all the refugees. We pray for all the people throughout Europe who have been affected by this. And we pray bravely for those who stand for freedom in our world. And I also want to give a big thanks to you as a congregation. You raised over $230 for the Board of World Mission and our Czech brothers who will this week actually received Ukrainian refugees in the hotel that they've been renovating. So your work has been immediately a help to those people. Continue to look for ways that we can pray and support them. I'm most touched by this effort in the Czech province, but they're not just worried about giving these people food and shelter, but they're making sure these kids are able to continue their education, which is a foundation of our Meridian Church. In our prayers of sympathy and resurrection hope this week, we offer prayers for the family of Lori Macbeth. After a courageous battle with cancer, she was a co-worker of Carolyn Menapace. For Carol Houston, sympathy and resurrection hope to her family after her passing. She was a friend of the Martins. For Helen Schemel, prayers of sympathy and resurrection hope. Her son Jimmy has done pulpit supply for us in years past. So we continue to uplift that family in prayer. And I also want to uplift Hallie McGlumpy's family, who celebrated her life on Thursday at Dover First. And I know me and some others got an opportunity to be there, and it was so touching to see over 300 people there to celebrate her life and all the lives she touched. And I think I'm most touched that the youth ministry that she started to resurrect in this county is going to continue on. And we give thanks that that legacy lives on. In our prayers for healing and God's healing presence in their lives. We continue to uplift the family of Dominic Wright, Ian Swinderman, Corey Gorby, Brenda Greenwood, Stacy Castor, Gail Slater, Joe Dalcoma, Clara Gorby, Ryan Castor, Paige Martin, Tim Northrup, Linda Bennington, Bobby Joe Perez, all people affected by COVID, Joanna Giandru, David Poole, and Paula Drum. And then in prayers of joy and celebration this week, I want to uplift some of our young people. Allie Baker, who went to state for her cosmetology program. We uplift her in joy and praise. And then Rick and Joyce Swatho's granddaughter, Jocelyn Scambrino. She got a golf scholarship to Muskegon this week. So we look forward to her looking very comfortable in her Muskegon polo and doing a great job representing Claymont schools. And we have so many of our young kids that we can celebrate and uplift. Let us take some time in silence and invite God in this time of prayer. Gracious God, there is so much busyness on our hearts and minds. Just settle us right now. Help us to feel comfortable with you and know that right now we are in your presence, and that is more than enough. Help us to continue to just feel that presence in our lives and our world. When it feels like our schedules are full and there's no time for the important things, help us to remember the most important thing we can do is to pray, to spend time in your presence, to serve other people, to serve our family, and feel the presence of God's love in our heart and our minds. Gracious God, we especially uplift many families who are grieving. We think of especially the families that are dealing with the loss of somebody very young dying of cancer. Be with them, surround them, support them, and uplift them. And help it be a reminder to each and every one of us to not take a single life on this planet for granted. That each and every one of us should use the breath we've been given to serve you. And as we celebrate the prodigal son today, help us to remember that we too can seek you in all times and places. We too can seek ways to get closer to you. Help us to not live in shame, but to live in your grace and your mercy. Because we know that the story that we're about to hear and celebrate in our message today is not about the failures of the Son, but it is about the unrelenting grace of the Father. So may we experience that grace in all we say, all we do, and all we pray. In your blessed and gracious name we pray. Amen. We now turn our hearts and minds to a time of offering. Remembering that we're not passing an offering plate, but there is a plate in the back for any of you who'd like to make an in-person donation. We can continue to encourage you to go to scmchurch.org for any online donations, and remind you that you can go to the Board of World Mission website if you're interested in making any more donations to the Ukrainian refugees in the Czech province at this time. I invite you to stand as we celebrate our tithes, offerings, and gifts. Blessed Savior, help us to reunite our hearts with your heart. May we show others the gift of your unconditional love, great acts of mercy, charity, and love for all. Amen. You may be seated. now turn our hearts and our minds to our children's chat today. For our children's chat, we're going to do things a little bit differently. We're talking about the prodigal son going on a long journey. So I'm going to send you on a scavenger hunt for a prize in this sanctuary. So if you're interested in doing that, kids, come forward and you can get your scavenger hunt help. If you need help from an adult or somebody to help you read these directions, feel free to ask. But I'm going to ask you to hold them for a second, and then I'm going to read them for the congregation so you can know, and that way you can go on this journey together. You doing it with Reese together? Or? Awesome. Okay. So your directions are to walk to the right or left wall of the sanctuary. I'm just going to read them, and then you guys can follow them. Walk to the right or left. Direction one. Walk to the right or left wall of the sanctuary in front of the first pew. Walk back 10 pews. Step 3, walk across the length of one pew. Step 4, walk up the center aisle the length of 10 pews. And then step 5, if you do not find the prize, repeat steps 1 through 4 as many times as necessary. So go forth and figure out whatever wall. You may want to do the left wall if somebody's doing the right wall, but that's just me. So yeah, walk to the wall, count 10 pews. Did you find it? All right, what's step 5? Brandon, do you want to get in on this? Brandon and Tyler, do you want to get on this? You're never too late. Tyler, you want to do it with them, or you want to do your own? Very good. All right. Has anybody found a prize yet? No? Oh, man. So let's all come back here for a sec. So who here would classify themselves currently as being lost? Yes? Okay. So you may not know what that word means, but before your parents had these fancy things on their phone that gave them maps to perfect directions and spots, there used to be a time where people got lost all the time. And we still get lost sometimes because we forget to charge our phones and do things like that. So what do we do when we're lost? What's the best thing to do?
Ask for help.
Ask for help, the H word. That's perfect. Here you go, Reese. You found a prize. Who else can ask? Who needs help? I may be short on candy, so I may need Aubrey. I may need to make some purchases from Aubrey later, but that's all I got, Amy. Sorry. Aubrey is selling chocolate after the worship service if anybody needs to make those purchases. Oh, Reese, sorry. I looked for a short, I saw blonde hair, and I went, I gotta look down. So, why do you think I had you guys do that? Just to be crazy, or what was that, Peyton? To learn to ask for help. That's excellent. Because guess what? In life, there's going to be times where you have your eye on a prize that you just can't seem to find no matter how hard you look. And guess what? These directions, many of you figured out, you were literally walking around in circles. I had you going around one pew, going up one pew, going down, coming one, and coming back. And sometimes in life that happens to us. We have our eye on something and we end up walking in circles. But the competition, the most important thing, the people who grow the fastest are the people who are willing to ask for help first. So always be willing to ask other people for help because they will help you become unlost much quicker than you could on your own. Let's pray. Gracious God, we ask you to bless these kids and remind them that it's okay to ask for help, and especially for adults too, because we really struggle with that one. And just help us to understand that there are times in life where we don't have it all figured out. We don't have the perfect answers, and it's okay to ask for help. Asking for help is a sign of strength and a sign of weakness, not a sign of weakness. So help us to be willing to ask other people for help. In your blessed and gracious name we pray. Amen. Good job. Thank you all very much. Enjoy your treat. Thank you. No worries. Let's pray. Gracious God, open our hearts, our minds, and our ears to the wisdom that you have to share with us today, and just remind us that you are working through us and with us. And may we feel your presence in this place today. In your blessed and gracious name we pray. Amen. So our gospel text, the prodigal son, it arguably might be one of the most famous stories in all of humanity. What is not up for argument is that the story of the prodigal son is one of the most recognizable stories in the entire world. My librarians in the back might appreciate that I did some research on what books have been written about the prodigal son. And one of my favorite things that I read was that Charles Dickens calls it a masterpiece. Dickens said, it is the finest short story ever written. And in fact, if you read his book, Great Expectations, about Pip, it is a tribute to the prodigal son. Many of our old English books that you grew up in high school reading often have connections to biblical stories. And for me, this scripture passage can often be a challenge because it's hard to provide a fresh angle on this gospel story from Jesus. The juice has been pretty much squeezed. But before we get into that, I want to hear from you. When you've heard the story of the prodigal son, has everybody here heard the story of the prodigal son before today? You know this story, or now you know it today, at least because you heard it. Every single person in this room has heard this story. Get out your whiteboards right now and tell me, what are your biggest takeaways from this story? What are your biggest takeaways from the story of the prodigal son? You get to teach the beginning of the sermon today. What are your biggest takeaways? Does anybody need any markers or anything? What are your biggest takeaways? All right, let's see some of your answers. The Father's forgiveness. God is willing to always love us. You can always come home. Absolutely. Good parental. Parents don't have a favorite child. There we go. Or do have a favorite child. Okay. I read into that, maybe. What do you have? Ah, okay. That's all right. Forgiveness. Ignorance, absolutely. There can be some of that. Forgiveness. God's unconditional love. I like that, Brandon. That's a good one. A lot of good themes throughout this story. And I'm sure some of you are working on some of those other themes, but you've tapped. And Nicole's got a good one back there, too, as well. I'm not going to do my eye test right here, but I can feel it's good. I got to get rid of the orange markers. Those are the ones that are killing me. Home is where you have to go. Yeah, they have to take you in. Celebrate. Absolutely. Don't shame. See, that was worth walking down here. Celebrate people. Don't try to remember them for their worst actions or their worst mistakes. And I think you guys touched on a lot of the important themes. But what I want you to focus on today is not necessarily the themes of this passage, but the characters. What I'm going to ask you is to focus on which character in this parable do you relate to the most right now in your life? Because the thing about this story is it changes over time, and it changes how you view this story. Which character's lens are you looking at this passage from? This is what allows us to hear this story from a fresh perspective, even though many of us in this room have heard this story dozens of times. And for example, a good allusion to this might actually be, I know many of you are fans of the TV show The Office. And The Office might be, studies are showing it might be the most rewatched TV show of all time. In fact, it is far more popular than when it was actually running on NBC as a live show. And other than the TV show Friends in the 90s, this is unheard of for a TV show to be even more popular than when it was new, when it was original. And psychologists have actually studied this, and they claim the reason for this is because the characters in the story are so relatable. Rewatching The Office doesn't get boring for people because the first time you watch it through the eyes of Jim or Michael, and the second time you watch it through the mischievous Dwight, or the third time you watch it through the sweet eyes of Pam. Each viewing gives you a different perspective of this story. In our gospel story, the prodigal son, this famous, most famous story in human history, it functions in the same capacity. Every character in this story is relatable and understandable. Every character teaches us something. The prodigal is an easy character to roll our eyes at. He's probably the least likable in this story. In modern terms, I view him as a trust fund baby that lives to party and has no appreciation for what he has been given. It may be a little crude, but I often kind of picture Adam Sandler's character, Billy Madison, from the 90s when I picture the prodigal son. Just somebody who lives to party and lives to celebrate. He's not a very likable person at first. Yet, if we take the time to view him as the lost son and not as the pitied son, kind of what Nicole was talking about, celebrating this person and their willingness to ask for help, he becomes a much more relatable character. And I want you to think about this. Some of you may have not lived your lives as extreme as the prodigal son and have had to ask for help to rescue yourself from having to work with pigs and live in pigsties. But have you ever had to swallow your pride and ask for help in your life from a parent or a grandparent that went beyond their normal call of duty? Perhaps you're a young teen. Have you ever had to explain a D or an F on a report card or why you got fired from one of your first jobs? Maybe you're a little older. Have you ever had to drop out of college or take a semester off and come home to live with mom and dad? Have you ever needed help with down payment on a house or an unexpected car repair that came out of nowhere? Have you ever dealt with a messy divorce, a breakup, an unexpected pregnancy as an adult and needed to come home and recalibrate and restart your life? Many of us, in some way, shape, or form, have experienced unexpected and difficult homecomings. Homecomings we were not so excited about. Homecomings that made us bow our heads a little bit. And for me personally, I think the time between college and seminary was the moment I most felt like I related to the prodigal son. Because I graduated college early and with honors, so I expected when I went home to recalibrate and restart my life, that in a month or two, I'd be out of the house, working a full-time job, starting my way on saving for a mortgage, and all those things. But 1 month turned into 2 months, 2 months became 5 months, and 5 months became a year. And I was embarrassed at that time to only be working barely part-time as a freelance journalist, not even enough to make the minimum payments on those loans that I just started accruing. And during that phase of my life, I hated looking at myself in the mirror during that time. because all I saw when I looked at myself was failure and personal disappointment. That was an incredibly humbling experience, especially for somebody who prided myself in pulling myself up by my bootstraps, and I just couldn't figure out how to do it. And you know something? I don't know where I would be today without the mercy and love of my parents during that time and my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because the fact that this title of this parable is called the Prodigal Son and not the merciful love of the parent, that says a lot about the need for judgment in our world, the need to scapegoat people. And the older brother, when we get to him, he also might be one of the more relatable characters in the stories. He is the type of person who has the receipt for every wrongdoing his brother committed against him. How many times have we ourselves looked at our sins as small pennies, but when we view the sins and mistakes of others, we view them as if they are expensive $100 bills. And furthermore, we often have every justification for our sins. Oh, I was having a bad day. Didn't get enough to eat today. That's why I was so angry and upset. I was just at the wrong place at the wrong time. If that person would have asked me in a different place, I would have responded with an open heart. But they just caught me at a bad time. But we often, on the other hand, we view the sins that are against us as malicious personal attacks. In fact, the truth is some of the sins that have been committed against us by other people, they might not have even been about us at all. It might have been those list of excuses that we have. They might have been the ones having a bad day. They might have been the ones who just hadn't had anything to eat yet. They might have been the ones who were in the wrong place at the wrong time. But rarely we give them the same benefit of the doubt we are willing to give ourselves. Because the older brother fails to see that there is absolutely no difference in falling a few inches short of a perfect Christian living or missing the mark completely. Every single one of us needs to be saved by God's grace. Every single one of us. God does not grade our worthiness on a curve. Whether you get a 99 or a 29 does not mean anything to God. We all need his grace. And when we focus our attention on the Father, what the Father did for his lost son was remarkable, and it was far more than his child deserved in that situation. It was an incredibly humbling act for that father to greet his lost son. You have to think about what ancient Middle Eastern culture is like, and remember that in that culture, the most dangerous weapon that they have is shame. To be ashamed of somebody is the ultimate spiritual, social, and oftentimes physical death in that culture. And that father experienced shame for his son. That father had to be willing to surrender his community reputation in order to greet this child that had brought him shame. And I guarantee when you think of this passage, there were other families, communities were close-knit in that world. So I guarantee there were other families in the neighborhood watching this scene from judgment from afar. And when they started seeing that father walk to embrace that son, they started to hear that scuttlebutt of, oh, there goes our neighbor down the street. I always knew that kid was trouble. His dad thought he could do no wrong. Here he comes to bail him out again. Or that person a few doors down, it serves him right to have to deal with this because he raised a spoiled brat. Or maybe a few other houses down, that entire family is full of screw-ups. I wouldn't be caught dead hanging out with them. Just being around them ruins your reputation. But the father in this story, he doesn't care about what the neighbors think. He only cares about the impact that he can have on the child he loves. and the mercy of the Father is unchanged, because the expectations around him are that he should be the one that punishes his son. I think that's important for us to listen to, because real tangible opportunity for us to think about how we treat the people we love through the decisions that break our hearts the most says a lot about our own personal character. Let me say that again, because that's incredibly important. How we treat the people we love through the decisions that break our heart the most says a lot about our own personal character. And that is one that challenges me incredibly, because I am a control freak and my mind functions highly logical. So I really struggle with my ability to love someone while simultaneously disagreeing with the choice they make, a choice that defies logic, a choice that just frustrates me and furrows my brow. But the merciful Father, he's much different. The merciful Father does not let those mistakes bother him. And the character of the merciful Father shines bright through this story. This speaks to the depth and distance that God will go to find his lost sheep. The gift of forgiveness is valuable beyond words. And I think that's important for us to remember. Forgiveness can change somebody's life. Remember that. Forgiveness can change your life. And I found that looking in the opposite direction, I found some of the most unforgiving and hardened people I know are never born that way. But they are people who have been denied forgiveness at one point or another. A parent kicks them out and tells them never to come home. A sibling takes a piece of their inheritance and runs with it, never to see them again. Or a marriage turns toxic, and they are unable to figure out how to be human with one another. It is important to remember, brothers and sisters, whether we choose mercy or judgment for the people around us, whatever choice we make, it will be contagious to the people we love. Because they're going to either spread that mercy or judgment to other people. And they, in turn, will either be spreading more mercy or more judgment into the world around us. So we have to ask ourselves, what's the legacy here? Because in this parable, the mercy of the Father lives on through the mercy of the Son. Judgment literally dies on the road between them. And mercy will be the legacy of this family for years to come. It will live on through them. And so we have to remember, we have the most merciful Father possible. The most merciful Father that lives in heaven, that loves us beyond imagination. And that Father, he would walk the righteous path to save us, not just once, but he would do it for us time and time again. What does Scripture tell us? 70 times 7. And beyond that, Christ will continue to walk for us. And Jesus shares this story as a metaphor for how God's love looks for us in this world. But on the cross, Jesus does something far greater. He turns that metaphor of this beautiful story into a reality. And he shows us what sacrificial love really looks like. That's why the prodigal son might actually be the second greatest story in human history. The first greatest story in human history is at the cross, where we get to see tangibly just how far God's love goes for each and every one of us. So we have to remind ourselves that each and every one of us have been given a precious gift. Seeds of forgiveness have been planted in our hearts by a merciful and loving Father. So the question before us is, will God's mercy continue to flow through us? Will that legacy live on through us? Or will we break away from that and choose judgment in our lives? Two paths stand before us. An easy path where judgment lies, or a righteous path where mercy and love flows from God to each and every one of us. Which path will you choose, brothers and sisters? Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, we are your prodigal sons and daughters. We make mistakes all the time. We fall short. We commit sins of the heart and of the flesh, but you forgive us every chance we ask for it. So remind us to ask for help. Remind us to choose mercy. Because if we choose mercy in our lives, that mercy lives on and flows through us, to our family and to our community. So help us to remember that we are not just planting seeds of mercy in one situation, but we should be planting them in all situations. So may we see your mercy and love in this world as an opportunity to share, give, and grow. In your blessed name we pray. Amen. Excuse me. And at this time, I invite you to stand as we sing our final hymn. Gracious unto you, Lord, lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Jesus, amen.